Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Funda ukuningi, uphile saka, futhi ukhule othandweni. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.
You're on 657 AM Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I am Sibongile Mofokeng, and I'm with you up until 3 o'clock. God is so good. We gave you awesome sounds coming there from Bongi and Colin. He is still God. He is still God. Love those awesome sounds, assuring you that your journey with God is not in vain. He is still God. He still answers. He's still faithful. He is Yahweh. He is the deliverer, the healer. He's just amazing. He's just amazing. And the time now, 15 minutes, just after 1. And I am not alone at this current moment and time. I am joined by my queen, Dr. Happy Sitsiba. You remember, it is the month where we raise mental awareness health, mental health awareness. And so today we are focusing on our adolescents, their mental health and coping. I mean, during this time, most of our children, especially those who are in tertiary, those who are in high school, the matriculants, the grade 11s, they want to prove themselves, and yo, they go through quite a lot. It is a blessing to have a child who doesn't, who's more relaxed, who's taking it easy during now. I was talking to a parent yesterday, and I was asking him about his son, and the son is doing grade 11, and I'm like, so how is he taking it? And he's like, you know, that one always says to us, give me my space. I need my space. Let me welcome my queen in the studio. How are you, Dr. Stiba?
I am very well, thank you. Hi, listeners. Hi, Sis Bongile.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah. Yeah. It deserves a pa 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 pa. So, yeah, I was talking to a friend. His son is only 16 doing a grade 11. And the son is like, oh, give me my space. Don't pressurize me. I know what to do. And I was like, but every time he says that, the results are good, right? And the father is like, mm. And I'm like, so giving me space.
And you'll see the results.
And you'll see the good results. But I think for parents, it comes naturally that because we came from that kind of background where there was bombarding of info and you're not reading. Like when I got you should be on the book all the time.
True. So true.
And so we do that. We want to also do the same where our children are concerned. Mm. But how real is the struggle where mental health is concerned for our adolescents during this time?
Oh, Sisi, the struggle is very real.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of parents, caregivers, and maybe teachers,
yeah,
at school,
yeah,
would agree with me.
Yeah.
You know, generally, we are aware of, you know, the alarming numbers of like learners, mm, students who visit our rooms as professionals.
Yeah.
With mental health problems, mm, presenting with stress, anxiety, depression. Sometimes they are being referred with presenting with physiological, you know, problems like headaches, stomach,
yeah,
aches, and,
yeah,
many other things. They have a lot of problems that point to, in most cases, mental health,
mm,
issues. Mm. Sometimes parents are not even aware.
Mm.
Until the child acts out, you know, they will normally say, these days they are with, I picked up that my child is withdrawn.
Mm.
They are no longer as active
as playful. They used to.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They need their own space, but in a different way this time. You can actually pick up that the behaviors have changed.
Okay.
Mm.
So there are some telltales.
Yes.
What are these? You mentioned behavioral changes, mm-hmm, headaches, and what, mm, else?
Yeah, there are like a lot of physical complaints in some cases, like, mm-hmm, headaches that don't go away, even, mm-hmm, when the child take can take medication, yeah. they always complain.
Yeah.
That is like medical, physical complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Headache, they don't sleep well, they having trouble concentrating at school.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that they're actually uncomfortable. Sometimes stomach pain, diarrhea, constipation.
Even?
Yes, sometimes those are the missed symptoms
that
we sometimes, maybe I would say we mistake them for just ending there with physical symptoms.
Mm.
But a lot of physical symptoms that young people complain about in most cases are relating to, you know, what they feel uncomfortable with emotionally and mentally. You know, there's so much
pressure. You make me think I'm coming out of the topic a little bit, but it's something that we do even to brides. You're like, ah, cold feet, don't worry.
Yeah. Cold feet, not, we have names for that. Yeah,
not going deeper into why are you feeling, what do you think? No, not even asking, nah, cold feet. Every bride goes through that. And I think that's what we do to our children as well.
Because you mentioned something very important earlier on, that we are parents and we can only be that, you know? We can't be children again.
Yeah.
Even though we were kids before, we should keep in mind that children have their own world. They exist in their own world. You are taking care of this child. You are supporting this child. But I think the most important thing is to try and be in the world of the child and try imagine what it is that they could be going through. Sometimes, okay, we usually say kids, especially young kids, may not have the vocabulary to express how they feel exactly.
Yeah.
But young people, with young people is better, but they need an environment where they can be encouraged and supported to actually talk about what is bothering them. Because if they realize that no one cares, or if they start to feel misunderstood, they might, you know, withdraw and they might act up. You know, we have kids these days who present with anger, a lot of anger outbursts.
Yeah.
A lot of, we even give them diagnosis. There's a common one that we usually hear about, I think, at school and in their hospital or wherever, that our kids are having ADHD. We were talking about it the other day. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yeah.
Those are some of the conditions that kids, I think, they that is the language that they are able to communicate or to speak, especially if they feel they are misunderstood. Remember, at an adolescent time is a time of great it's a time of great turmoil.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of changes.
You're finding yourself.
Yes, identity and many other things are like physiological changes, and you are lost in that space. And I can imagine that coupled with having to, you know, refine your own path for the future, define it.
That is a heavy thing.
Through school, parents will be telling you, hey, you have to be disciplined. You have to wake up at a certain time, go to school. Sometimes you don't even feel like going to school.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to be there. And remember also that adolescents, as I said, live in their own world. They may think, ah, one day won't kill. You know, or if I go for tonight without studying, I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll just brush up 2 hours before school. You know, those are the things that they believe.
There's one adolescent now, no longer so much of an adolescent. I remember when she was doing her matric and she would wake up late and go to school. And the siblings and the family would be like, but you're late. And she's like, better late than never. So it's like, as long as I'm at school.
As long as I made it.
Yeah, and she was so brilliant, though, but all the stress that comes with everything, the discipline, the
accountability and responsibility, is a bit far-fetched for them. They always need an adult to guide them, to help them see things through, you know, other people's eyes, because in most cases they see things through their own eyes, and that makes them to exist in their own world.
I'm just thinking that when we take things so easy, when we're taking things so easy, are we not even creating more stresses upon the children themselves and not taking time to listen? Like I said, we even give it names. Right now, you were talking about ADHD. Even as parents, unale ADD. And I was talking yesterday to some guests who is here as well, and I'm like, you know, when a child would go for counseling as well, and then the doctor says, maybe Dr. Steve says, no, it's depression, and when they get home, we hope that if we wash the dishes, you won't be depressed. You know, all of that.
Yeah, you read that.
Is it that we are not taking our children serious? Why are we like that?
Ish. You can ask again. Why are we like that?
Yeah.
No. I think part of it is we grew up we were socialized in a way that doesn't really take mental health seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I, during the time when we were growing up,
it wasn't.
I'm sure you don't remember going to see a psychologist.
Well, in my case, I do. I guess it also depends on the parents. What they expose you to.
Yeah, especially African people. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. We are. Maybe it's less. Should I put it as not being the awareness?
Yeah.
Of how serious the effects of mental health are. Mm. I think it starts there. Yeah. In our own understanding of what mental health or mental ill health is and what the effects, the potential effects of that can be on a child, especially when we make fun of certain things, you know? Like, for instance, what you just mentioned, after they come from a psychologist and the psychologist said the child has depression, and then you make fun of it at home. You become sarcastic. Oh, I can't even ask you to bring me water because I'll be stressing you.
and they are neighbors, okay?
Yeah,
they are cousins.
You, by the way,
and it's a serious matter.
Yeah, I don't know why we react in this manner.
But
I would like to encourage parents to take time to, you know, get an understanding of what it really is, because that is the reality.
Yeah.
The next thing, the child takes an overdose of pills.
And we're like, we didn't know, we were not aware.
Yeah.
But it was always in front of your eyes.
Yeah. And the message sometimes that we give to them is of not taking them seriously when they do other things. Like, for instance, you get a child that has taken an overdose and the parent says, yeah, I part of the society, you know? I'm ready for your death. I can buy a coffin and all that. But I think those are the reactions of parents when they are maybe frustrated, when they don't know what else to do.
Mm.
That's why we think it's important to identify and after to know what to do.
Mm.
Because we take it for granted that we always, as parents, we always have answers.
Mm.
We may not have all the answers. Mm. Yes, and that doesn't make us less of parents. Mm. We're still parents. But if we open up to things that we don't know, we didn't know before, like going to a professional, sitting down with a professional and allowing them to educate you, you will go home having a better understanding of how to handle your teenager or how to handle, you know, the relationship between you and your teenager.
And I guess, Dr. Steve, it's not only about the exams themselves. They carry other challenges. So when the exams come on top of that, I was just watching a certain movie with the family during the weekend, and it's about it was this boy. He's just at the brink of being a teenager, you know, and he has his own problems of relocating from another country to the country they are at now with the mom. Mm-hmm. He has to deal with that, and the person he looks up to as a father figure also has problems.
Yeah.
So our children don't only show with it's an overload during this time if we are putting more pressure on them.
So true. Sometimes we tend to think that that's our only problem, exams.
Yeah.
And the way it's being emphasized and the pressure. But it's even more difficult for a teenager that's still finding themselves, that's still experimenting, exploring the world, that's confused sometimes, that's having to deal with, you know, other issues, especially from the family, from where he spends most of his time. And at school, there's these days there's bullying, there's many other, many other, you know, challenges that young people are faced with. So exam become part of the part of the problems, you know, and sometimes we forget that these teenagers are human beings. Whatever it is that other human beings go through, they are also going through. So exam become an extended, you know, and something like a superimposing factor on the problems that have already been there.
So it can be a breaking point at some
Yes, it can be a point of, you know, a breaking point that triggers a whole lot of, you know, emotional, psychological responses.
Let's take a break, Dr. Steve, and then when we come back, please share light with us on what we can do as parents, because number one, we say, ah, kiddie hormones, kiss stage. We were once that age. Even now, some of the parents don't believe in taking their own children to see a specialist. Where else it's needed? In some schools, it's a blessing when they have these nurses and they can consult. But not all schools have that. And so please share light with us on how we can tackle the issue. We were talking about suicide. Is it last month? Was it last month? The other month where we were raising awareness on suicide. And we had a teenager who was here also who says, parents, there's a lot we go through. There's a lot. She's a peer supporter to others. But she also says, at some point, I also wanted to take my life.
Yes.
And we are not even aware. We don't know how to take. Okay, so let's share light on what we can do. Taking us back, or we're going to take these sounds. From Dominion, I'll run to you.
Inspiring lives with God's Word. Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Radio Pulpit is a family radio station committed to biblical values. For this reason, we have signed a code of conduct with the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Under the code, Radio Pulpit is committed to giving news that is accurate, comments that are fair, and programming that is not offensive, obscene, or harmful. If you feel that Radio Pulpit is not living up to that code, we encourage you to direct your complaint in writing to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa, P.O. Box 412-365, Craig Hall 2024, or send a fax to 011-787-0280, or email to bccsa@nabsa.co.za. The Broadcasting Complaints Commission is also obtainable on their website, www.bccsa.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Thola inkuthazo yakho nokuphakanyisa kanye nokuqiniswa imihla namalanga ekhasini lethu leFacebook. Hlanganyela nomphakathi weRadio Pulpit kuFacebook.
It is 28 minutes, actually 22 minutes. The mind sees 8, so the mind interprets 8 as 8. 22 minutes just before 2. You're listening to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. Gave you the sounds from Dominion, and the song is I Will Run to You. On the lead there, Mahalia Bukenen. I'm not alone. I'm with Dr. Happy Steve. Now I called you Pastor. Over. Are you ready? Are you ready to be a pastor?
Oh.
Dr. Tlailani always says, in my next life, Bongi, I'll be a
pastor. I agree with him on that one, in my next life.
So we're talking adolescent mental health and coping. You can talk to us. The lines are open to my family. 012-334-1322 is the number that you can dial and talk to us on. Whilst the doctor is here, I'm not a doctor, so I won't be able to answer. Don't ask me. I don't know. But when she's here, you can ask 012-334-1322. You can also send us a WhatsApp on 082-657-2729. It's 082-657-2729. Our SMS line 37871. Do you remember that one costs just 150? Yeah, and I fail. Just net 150. And then you can talk to us right on those spaces, on those platforms. Whilst the doctor is here, and we are on the adolescents' mental health and coping. So before we went to that song, Dr. Steve, I was like, can you... Yeah, get Papa Menyana as parents on what to do when we see the signs, when we see our young ones also showing with the distress. Even now, and sometimes we have been observing it, but not doing anything. And now it becomes hard. I know of a young person who was so suicidal during this time. And then the question was, but beautiful, you've been performing very well. What's wrong? And then she says, I don't think I'm doing my best. And there are these thoughts in my head because I don't think I'm going to make it. And it was hard. A step had to be taken back to say, how did we get here? So what are some of the things that we need to do as parents?
Yeah. That you mentioned that sometimes, yes, there are symptoms that we pick up along, and it happens over time.
Yeah.
That happens over time. Yeah. You will see that your teenager, your adolescent has withdrawn from, you know, social activities. They lock themselves up in the room after school. Sometimes they don't want to go to school. Those are some of the symptoms that parents pick up.
Is it a cry
up.
For help?
Yes, in most cases. Okay. There are, you remember I said they have a way of communicating. You know, sometimes they may not have the words and vocabulary to say, I'm feeling this way. Or they may be too afraid, because remember, they are also uncertain as to what is happening to them. They are confused. Sometimes they are feeling intensely, you know, all those emotions. They are depressed, and usually know that what we know that suicidal ideas, suicidal thoughts are preceded by a state of depression or a depressive state. We are not aware in most cases, because we don't really know what depression looks like, especially in teenagers. Sometimes it's our own perceptions. We think teenagers can have problems that can take them, that can dip them in a depressive state. Fridging? Yes. Everything. What more do you want? I take you to school, I pay your fees, I buy you a uniform, I bought you an expensive phone, so what more do you
want? But that is where we miss our children.
I think, that is to say, depression, we have to understand what depression is. It's not your normal sadness, you know, or low mood for maybe 2-3 days and then it goes away. It's a condition that we have to take very seriously, because the consequences are that if we don't really take depression, especially teen depression, seriously. They may have been, by the time they attempt suicide, by the time they drink those that overdose, they have long been feeling certain feelings. And, you know, with feelings, it's very difficult because you can't touch them, hey? You can't, but we see their behavior. You see this person that doesn't really wake up or doesn't really sleep, or can't, their eating habits have changed. You know, those are some of the symptoms or signs that we can pick up as parent. You suddenly see a decline in their performance at school. You know, you suddenly see that they are more, as I said, socially isolated. They can't wait to come back home. they are no longer with their friends, if they used to be with their friends most of the time, you will pick up, you know, some changes. I was saying, when a teenager decides or has arrived at the stage where they feel, I can't live anymore, I cannot take it anymore, in most cases, they're depressed, and they've been depressed for a long time. Depression can lead to suicide, can lead to, because part of, one of the symptoms of depression, when it's intense, when it's unresolved, when it's been there for a long time, is thinking of taking away one's life. But remember, depression changes the way you think, the way your outlook on life. Like the example that you highlighted, suddenly a teenager doesn't believe he can make it.
Yeah.
Because the whole, you know, thought processes has changed. His outlook on life has changed because of depression. The way he perceives things, the way he sees himself, he has lost confidence in himself. If you can tell him 100 times that, you know, you can make it, they don't see that at that time. And maybe it will be time to sit them down and saying, telling them, you know what, I'm worried about 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Is this what I'm seeing? Is this how you're feeling?
Yeah.
You know, I feel the one thing that I can encourage parents to do is to engage in talks with your teenager.
I hear social media screaming about soft parenting and harsh parenting, tough love.
Yeah.
When should the two, should they also even be there?
Well, it's a very difficult line to draw. You know, we have different personalities as parents. One can acknowledge that my parenting may be different from your parenting, but there are basic principles.
Okay.
You know, like, engage, this is a child, they are growing up, they will make mistakes at some point. Allow them to explore their world and teach them, you know, gently, take them through with you. Invite them into your world and allow them to invite you into their world. You know, come closer to them, communicate with them, model good behaviors to them. Those are some of the ways in which we can try and, you know, foster relationships and healthy relationships with our teenagers. It starts from as far as, it doesn't have to automatically start when your child is a teenager. From as early as, you know, as young as you can, you can, or you remember your child, if he's able to engage, remember you're the parent and you're going to be a parent throughout, even through difficult stages that the children will be going through. Be there as a parent that engages, as a parent that is curious, as a parent that wants to know what is going on, and let your child. Sometimes let your child educate you, you know, about certain things that you may not be aware of.
I was your age. Listen to her.
Who's the mother now?
And yet, monkey see, monkey do. I saw this video on TikTok of a little girl. So the mother was throwing food at her, not putting it nicely. And she's like, what was that for? And after, she says, no, you have to put it nicely. So the mom says, oh, I haven't been doing it right. She says, yes.
Yeah.
And then the little girl says, takes one of the items. Let's try again. Because this is who you have shown her to be. How do we help them to cope as well, besides just talking to them?
Yes, we teach them what we call problem-solving skills.
Okay.
Through every day, like you said, observing how we resolve our own issues.
Okay.
Because children learn, it is believed that children learn best when they are watching. You know, parents like saying, don't watch what I do, listen to what I'm saying. But unfortunately, children learn, you know, whether good or bad behaviors, and they don't know that they can't distinguish the difference between a good and a bad behavior. It's just behavior for them.
Uh-huh.
So in order for us to help them, we don't have to carry them through, like, you know, creating dependency forever,
uh-huh.
making them dependent on us. But we can teach them, like, that's what we call life skills, you know. And they start as early as a young age, as I said.
Uh-huh.
Like, for instance, teaching them routine.
Yeah, okay.
Their sleep routine, knowing that 9 o'clock in my house, this is what we have agreed on doing.
Yeah.
Social media, screen time, TV and whatever, lights out this time. And as they grow older, negotiate. You start to help them negotiate roles, negotiate tasks, you know. You are equipping them forever.
Mm.
I think those are some of the basic practical skills, helping them to understand how they want to exist in the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, to look at the world through their own eyes and through other people's eyes, because they are social beings.
Yeah.
Teaching them how to, like, basic skills such as empathy, you know, to be able to empathize with others, you know, being able to share what they have with others, and being able to build healthy boundaries, you know, healthy relationships, arriving at the point when they are able to distinguish the difference between what's right, what's good for them, and what's not good for them, and not ending there, saying what they feel, expressing exactly how they feel about certain things that will be helping them to establish healthy boundaries, you know, with themselves and with other people.
Yeah.
Knowing their limits, knowing when they are tired, when they want to take time out, when they want to go back to their tasks, you know, especially with chores in the house. Parents, okay, we expect a lot from kids. But sometimes parents may ask, then what is a lot? Because we grew up this way. We knew that come exam or no exam, you have to cook, you have to wash, you have to clean stoop. So I think we are parenting
like
in a different in a different time.
Yeah. We are parenting in a different time, and things not 100% different, but the approach is different.
Definitely.
I think also becoming parents that are, like, we say, yo, our boss has got an open door policy. We need that in our houses where children are concerned.
I think so. We need to run our household now, like we're running our, you know, offices, workplaces.
Yeah.
There is a difference. There has to be a difference. But the principles, as we said, we can learn a lot. Yes, we can learn a lot from our everyday experiences at work, at school, and at home. I was telling one parent the other day that, you know, maybe the problem is we give different rules at home, and we send our children to school, they give them different rules. When they arrive at school, they know exactly what is expected from them.
Yeah.
But at home, our expectations are not clear. We don't communicate clearly, and they get confused. Or we expect them to know. We assume that they will automatically know what is it that is expected from them when they are at home. So if we can just learn a little bit as parents from what is done at school, and maybe try to apply some of the principles at home, perhaps we might get better, you know, relationships. We might have better relationships with our kids, because what they'll be doing in one place, maybe they may be familiar with, you know, when you get home.
Yeah. And maybe as you say this, what comes into my mind is, oh, then it means we need to change our mentality around school, around church, because it's like when you read on social media, it's like, oh, when are they going back to school? So... Oh, Paloni. Yeah. Paloni is finished. That's all parents are going to have. But if they know that, okay, at this time we eat at home and at school, then if we're working together, and also you find lots of parents not even desiring to go and see the teacher when they are called by the teachers, What have you done? And sometimes it's not what the child has done wrong.
Mm.
It's about celebrating this child. But yeah. The mentality that we have means trouble.
We associate being called with, well, what did we do
yeah,
now?
So it's time we pulled hands together.
I think so, yeah.
Because our children, they might be going to school, but they are, you know. Yeah, we need to bridge that gap. Dr. Steva, thank you so much for this, raising awareness on our adolescents. I think we need to take it so serious. I think even during the December holidays, we still need this kind of teaching, because this is when now they are waiting, the matriculants are waiting for their results, and it's tense. We might be celebrating and enjoying, we are out, we are in Durban, they are not there, they are on how did I perform, what's going to, am I going to appear in the newspaper, or am I going you know, so
appear in the newspaper, that's another one.
I didn't appear. So for others who I didn't appear, only to find that I've made it.
Wow.
But my name was not in the newspaper. You can just
but that puts so much pressure.
Yeah,
on,
you can, you know, you can imagine
pressure unnecessarily so. And I think it's a norm, hey?
Yeah.
And we don't really realize the repercussions that, okay, as much as good as it might. It might sound, and because it has been done, maybe with a good intention, some kids develop anxiety, panic attacks, and suicidal thoughts because of the pressure. Just thinking
that came with that. That came with that. Even years later, as a young adult, I had issues. I had issues because I met one of my teachers who said, "You were not in the newspaper. You failed." That spoiled my 2 years, I think, in tertiary. And I'm in tertiary at the time.
but I didn't appear.
I didn't appear. And I'm so grateful for the parents that God gave me, because they were able to say, Sbo, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the school.
Wow.
But you can also imagine the pressure now with this. You're scared because I have to even go to.
Yes, you said something very important. Parents have, you know, my wish and prayer is that we can be as supportive no matter what.
Yeah.
Be there. Be present even when your child didn't make it.
Mm.
Even when you knew that I've been forcing this child, you don't remind them. You don't say,
I told you.
These are the consequences. There's a way of doing that.
Yeah.
You can be, you are allowed to be frustrated with your child's non-performance and deteriorating performance, but there is a way, you know, of expressing that, especially to this young mind that's confused, that's uncertain, that's scared.
Yeah.
They're scared already. You know, they are feeling bad already. They are feeling guilty already. They are regretful.
And they've done nothing wrong.
Yes, they are. It's their own learning. It's their own journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we need to really keep that in mind as parents, to support them, to love them still, to hold them by the hand, to sit down, to make time, to sit down with them, to encourage them, you know, to try again if they didn't make it, to engage with them. Like you said, even when we're on holiday, a lot of things are running through their mind, to reassure them, you know, and to be approachable, to have that, you know, open door for them that they can discuss just about anything.
Yeah.
Their fears and that.
I wish you a mom for every one of our children. Dr. Steva, thank you so much for ministering into us. May God awesomely bless you. It means when we meet again, it will be November. But yeah, thank you so much for this. We need it. For those who'd like to be in contact with you, how do they do so?
You can reach me. I have a Facebook. I'm on Facebook.
Yes.
Happy Steva.
Okay.
You can just,
so we can just inbox you right there.
Inbox and then,
Yeah. Otherwise, it'll phone you like at 12 midnight.
Please.
At 3. May God keep keeping you. Have a great one.
Thank you.
And do remember that she is Happy Sitsiba on Facebook, and that's how you can get hold of Dr. Happy Sitsiba. She is a professional psychologist. She is a doctor in this space, and we are so grateful for the teachings. We are so grateful for being empowered as parents. We are crossing over to the 2 o'clock news bulletin.
Get in touch with the truth, the light, and the life. 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Ba patsa kgwebo ya gago mo Radio Pulpit me o busetse dilo maemong a tsone. Radio Pulpit ke brand e tshepagetseng sebaka sa dingwaga di le 40 ebile e na le bareetsi ba feta 400,000. Ga jaana re na le di-package tse di botoka go feta pele mo sealemoyeng le mafelo a a kopantshweng a mafaratlhatlha go natlafatsa kgwebo ya gago. Go bapatsa e golaganye le Sanet mo 012-334-1254 kana romela email mo sanet@radiopulpit.co.za kgotsa SMS ka go kwala lefoko advertise go 37871. Khona le melawana.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.